to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
Bombas makes the most comfortable socks, underwear, and T-shirts.
Warning, Bombas are so absurdly comfortable you may throw out all your other clothes.
Sorry, do we legally have to say that?
No, this is just how I talk, and I really love my Bombas.
They do feel that good, and they do good, too. One item purchased equals one item donated.
To feel good and do good, go to bombas.com/radio and use code radio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/radio and use code radio at checkout.
Progressive knows finding your new home was a dream come true. You wanted a colonial with high ceilings, hardwood floors, and a peaceful neighborhood. And you found it. Now, every Saturday at 6 a.m., you get to wake to the sound of your neighbor's leaf blower. Progressive can't save you from your noisy neighbors, but we can save you money when you bundle your home and auto with us. Get a quote at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Some Republicans, including Senator John Kennedy and former Vice President Mike Pence, speaking out against President Trump's false claims that Ukraine is to blame for Russia's invasion. ABC's Patrick Reivel says it comes a day after the U.S. and Russia meeting about ending the war.
And I think what's clear, increasingly we are seeing that Donald Trump appears to want to put intense pressure on Volodymyr Zelensky. I think we're seeing this call for elections and accusing him of being a dictator, which of course is incredibly ironic given that we are talking about Vladimir Putin, who hasn't had an election, a fair election, in many, many years.
In Kentucky, floodwaters have yet to recede from the weekend storms, and now residents are dealing with snow and freezing temperatures. Cases of the measles still on the rise in Texas. The majority of 58 cases are centered in Gaines County, where vaccination rates for children have dropped in the past years. This is ABC News. Los Angeles, the second largest school district in the country with nearly 500,000 students, banned the use of cell phones this week in the classroom.
Well, cell phones are now banned during the day on LAUSD's 785 campuses. Each school will decide how to implement the ban. Some will lock them up. Others will put them in locking bags so students can't look at them. LA School Superintendent Alberto Carvalho says without the ban, kids' faces are buried in their phones all day long.
We'll be able to restore the joy of being a child back to kids.
The ban does have opponents, including some parents who want to be able to communicate with their children during the day. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
The Trump administration's transportation department sending a letter to New York's governor pulling approval for congestion pricing in Manhattan. That added toll for commuters entering below Manhattan's 60th Street went into effect in January. New York officials say they'll fight it in court. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Haven't seen you around the gym for a while.
Yeah, I've really fallen off. Since I turned 40, I just don't get the results I used to get.
Could be lower testosterone.
Lower T.
Yeah, I went through it a while back. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone. I got Nugenix Total T, and it's made a huge difference for me.
I've seen that ad on TV. Is it for real?
Oh, yeah. The key ingredient is something called Testnor, which helps boost free and total testosterone levels to help you trim up and stay lean.
And it's made a difference for you?
Man, I feel like I'm in my 20s again. At work, in the gym, and in the bedroom.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try it for themselves?
Yeah, you just need to send them a text.
Text LION to 42424 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text LION to 42424. That's LION to 42424.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ayling. Tuesday night at the Capitol, Democratic Governor Tony Evers laid out his plans for the next two-year state budget. It includes over $2 billion in tax cuts that Evers says will provide direct relief to Wisconsin families.
Lower property taxes, eliminate the sales tax on several everyday expenses, and cut income taxes for middle-class Wisconsinites, including homeowners, renters, veterans, and seniors.
Evers is also asking for over $3 billion in direct state aid to local school districts to prevent them from having to go to budget referendums to keep the lights on. Other plans include more funds for child care, to clean up PFAS contamination, and to remove lead lines from the state's water supplies. Republicans in the Wisconsin legislature aren't enthusiastic about Governor Evers' proposed two-year budget. Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemieux.
Frankly, his speech was devoid of a lot of specifics of what he actually wants to do, but a lot of gimmicky tax cuts. We'll take his irresponsible budget, turn it into a responsible budget that invests in education, that invests in health care, but doesn't overspend and grow the size of government.
When factoring in federal money and other sources of revenue, the Evers budget would spend $118.9 billion. That's an increase of 20.3%. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss calls most of the Democratic governor's budget dead on arrival. That proposal is unlikely to pass the Republican-controlled state legislature without significant changes. There was one statewide race on the ballot in Wisconsin's spring primary Tuesday. That was for state superintendent of public instruction. The three-candidate matchup has been narrowed to two now, with incumbent superintendent Jill Underley and Wauwatosa educational consultant Brittany Kinzer moving on to a matchup in the April general election. Sauk Prairie School District Superintendent Jeff Wright was knocked out after finishing third in the vote count. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
At Advent Health, we believe wholeness isn't any one field. It's all of them. Laughter to tears and everything in between. So let your hearts overflow. Let your spirits dare to hope. And let the sun shine through. May you always live in wonder, wondering at this life. And never, ever stop reaching for what makes you feel whole. Learn more at adventhealth.com/human spirit.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Still stuck in the cold today, with high temperatures rising to the single digits and wind chills still feeling sub-zero. We could see a few flurries flying around out there this evening. Otherwise, tomorrow, it'll be mostly sunny and a little warmer. High temperatures should tap the upper teens and for Friday, reach the low 20s. Get cheaper and faster internet from Whole Home Connect. 1-800-217-9129. Currently, it's 4.
Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
Good to have you with us for AOA today as we're gearing up to talk markets, ethanol, cattle health, and grain bin safety. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Coming up here on today's show, we're going to listen to a conversation I had with Dr. Julia Herman from the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. That's coming up in segment two. We spoke with her during the Cattle Industry Convention earlier this month in San Antonio, Texas. She shared some great thoughts on cattle health priorities for NCBA and more moving forward, and some good general reminders for ranchers when it comes to cattle health. In segment three, I spent some time on Tuesday at the National Ethanol Conference and got to talk with Troy Breedenkamp from the Renewable Fuels Association about a wide range of topics that RFA is focused on here moving forward in 2025. We'll hear that after the bottom of the hour. And then at the end of the show, it's Grain Bin Safety Week. We're going to get some tips and talk with Laramie Sandquist from Nationwide here for Grain Bin Safety Week. So a lot to get to on today's AOA. Let's kick things off with a look at the markets. Joining us now, Christy Van On Cheeses with Van On and Company. Christy, thanks for being with us. Hope all is well.
It is. I hope all is well with you as well.
We got a little bit of snow in Tennessee to deal with midweek. And I know where you're at there in central Minnesota, like many folks, it is still extremely cold. What'd you tell me before the show? A negative 40 wind chill?
Yeah, so school is 2 hours late for the girls because of that negative 40 wind chill. But, you know, like a true Minnesotan, you're like, you know, but the sun's out, so it's not so bad. No wind, the sun's out, so it could be worse.
That's very true. It could be worse. Could be worse. These markets could be worse. I look at the grains, particularly this corn market. It's pretty quiet on Wednesday, but we finally got March old crop through the $5 mark on the board on Tuesday's trade and kind of just holding and chopping around that level. And you look at soybeans, pretty quiet there as well. What's your take on some of what we're seeing for this grain market action this week?
Yeah, my concentration today is on corn and wheat. So we moved on some spring wheat marketing here today on old crop. Technically, we like to be further along than we are, or were, I should say. And so we were kind of playing catch up when it came to that. We are now 90% marketed for old crop spring wheat. And then corn, just watching this level so much. So the high close for March corn is really this 503 to 504 and a quarter area. And that's what we're watching. If we get a close above that level, it really could open up that next price count, which is to that like 544, 550 area. I have a hard time believing corn can do that, but that is what is priming up on the technical chart. I don't know if we're going to be able to get it. It's kind of like that same situation took forever to get to 462. Once we got to 462, jumped to 492 pretty quick. And so we're watching that really close right now. I think a lot of the support showing up into the corn market, obviously we've had friendly news domestically for corn, but I feel like this last push has really been based off some slow planting in Brazil, and every planting story, it just never pans out. And so I am very concerned about that this is going to be a short-term story. So I'm trying not to let people get too bullish here, do some marketing, be cautious here, but we are really watching this close area for March corn.
Well, and I know as well, some of these new crop levels are fairly decent as well. And we're already kind of starting to have that conversation about what the acre mix is going to look like here coming up spring 2025. And I mean, know for many producers in your neck of the woods, I mean, wheat, spring wheat could be in that conversation versus, say, corn or soybeans. But I just keep hearing a lot of talk about folks saying they're going to plant corn here in 2025, Christy.
Yeah, January and February is my really busy meeting stretch. It's starting to slow down now, thank goodness. I'm kind of over traveling, but I swear I walk into a meeting and everyone's chanting corn for corn acres, right? Like everyone is so jacked to be planting corn this year. And to be honest, there's so many reasons behind that. One is just rotational base, right? We had a lot of bean acres last year. So that itself is going to naturally give us more, or should give us more corn acres. But more than that, you know, we're generating crop insurance prices right now, and we are just slightly over last year's corn price. We're almost a dollar under last year's bean price. So that alone is just looking at it and saying, I can't make money on beans. Not only can I not make money on beans, I also just don't even have a good crop insurance level to back up in case something happens. And so it's very concerning to me that we're going to see a lot of corn acres. Outlook Forum from USDA is next week, and that's going to be our first hint at acre. So that's also why I'm trying not to let people get too bullish on the corn side of things, is that I think, you know, in a month or so, you have the potential to really shake this tree.
So with that in mind, I mean, and as we're kind of setting that crop insurance price right now, should producers be looking at any sort of forward marketing for new crop?
Yeah, so we moved last week on some new crop corn marketing. 474 had been a level of ours that we were watching quite a bit. We're a little bit above that right now, 478 and three quarters. But that's a level that we had been watching for quite some time as a technical target to get up. So we did move on marketing there. We're being cautious and being a little patient on beans, because as unfriendly as it could be for corn acres, I think you could see some friendliness and beans needing to get a little bit higher and bid for some acres. Not sure a price change could really change the acre dynamic all that much, but you just never know. So we did move on marketing. I know that people aren't really all that happy with 475, especially when you can get $5 for old crop right now. But you just have to remember, in decent years, we've been able to get to that 30 to 40 cent carry out to July, and that can get you all the way out to, you know, 510 with a decent basis. And that's making a lot of guys money.
Christy, final thoughts from you. We got a little over a minute here. What other markets are you paying close attention to this week, whether it's livestock or outside markets or anything else? What else is on your mind?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at live cattle right now, and they need to hold this support level. So that's one I'm really focusing on. And I think this is really paired up once again with corn. I'm fine being patient on corn. So don't take it as I'm just this Debbie Downer on corn. But when you look at kind of the dynamics, you've had managed money, record length cattle, they're starting to liquidate that. You're seeing this change in trend for the futures market. You know, managed money has been very long corn, that if they want to step away from that, who's going to be the buyer? Because I don't think you'll have producers buying at this point.
Yeah, it's a good point. Just I think funds are long in almost every main ag market, minus the wheat, I believe, is the only one they're still short in, right, Christy?
Yes, that's correct. And I think they're trying to add some to wheat, but to be honest, they never like being really long wheat because, you know, it's wheat.
Exactly. Wheat does wheat things. And of course, we remember that risk of trading futures and options could be substantial. Christy, if folks want to reach out to you and the team there at Van Aan & Company, how can they get in touch?
Yeah, you can call us at 1-800-648-5494.
Well, we always appreciate the time and the insight. Christy Van Aan, she sits with Van Aan and Company. Thanks for joining us. Stay warm, and we will talk to you again real soon, Christy.
Thanks, Jesse.
All right, coming up next here on AOA, we're going to switch gears. We are going to talk about overall cattle health. I had a great conversation earlier this month at the Cattle Industry Convention at NCBA Trade Show in San Antonio, Texas, with Dr. Julia Herman, beef cattle specialist and veterinarian for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. We talked about some of their cattle health priorities for 2025 and beyond, and just some good general reminders for folks to think about with biosecurity and more. We'll listen to that conversation coming up next as we continue on AOA, Agriculture of America.
At Nutrien Ag Solutions, we're dedicated to helping you achieve your full potential by connecting you with the knowledge, tools, and solutions you need for success. Partner with our team of experts who are ready to tackle the unique challenges you face at each stage of the season with customized whole acre solutions. Speak to your local crop consultant or visit us online at NutrienAgSolutions.com to learn how we can work toward feeding the future together.
Your car has the power to help save lives. An unwanted or unused car in almost any condition. Discover how donating your car can make a lasting impact in the fight against breast cancer. Can there be a world where breast cancer is a thing of the past? That world may be within reach, and your car donation can help us get there. Simply call 1-800-778-4167. Your donation will support Susan G. Komen's vital work in research, care, community, and action. Your contribution fuels groundbreaking research, supports patients and their families, and raises awareness about prevention and early detection. Donating your unwanted or unused car is simple and fast. We take care of everything, including a free pickup and all the paperwork at your convenience. Call 1-800-778-4167. And the best part? Your donation qualifies for a tax deduction. Remember, your car donation has the power to transform lives, providing hope and healing to those affected by this devastating disease. So why wait? Call 1-800-778-4167. Help accelerate the cure for breast cancer. Your wheels, their hope.
Farm and Ranch Media is your go-to source for the latest news of agriculture, market information, ag weather, and much more. With the American Ag Network, Agriculture of America, AOA, and Market Talk, we keep you informed on the news and issues that matter for your operation. Agriculture is a busy job, and it requires you to constantly be on the go. That's why we'll keep you farm informed with the American Ag Network, AOA, and Market Talk.
Hi, I'm
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
When your reputation is on the line, go to the Midwest leader, Bauer Built Tire and Service, for all your tire and service repair needs. They've been supplying cars, SUVs, light and medium truck tires, as well as farm tires since 1944. Plus, they've built their reputation on services such as alignments, brakes, and suspension work that will exceed your expectations. Stop in today at Bauer Built Tire and Service on Mall Drive in Eau Claire and in Durant. Bauer Built, built on service.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA. Well, of course, a few weeks ago, we spent time at the Cattle Industry Convention in San Antonio, Texas. I was able to sit down and have a wide-ranging discussion with Dr. Julia Herman, beef cattle specialist and veterinarian for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, talking about some of their cattle health and veterinary priorities looking ahead to the rest of 2025 and beyond. Let's take a listen to that conversation right now on AOA.
Julie, it's great to see you again. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks, Jesse, for having me on.
Absolutely. Busy couple of days, I know, already here at CattleCon, talking with producers far and wide on a number of different topics, I'm sure, Julia.
Oh, yes. Lots of animal health topics, training topics. I think that's the cool thing about coming to CattleCon. Producers can come and learn about what they want specifically, and we have it all for them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's talk a little bit on the cattle health side, and I'm thinking about just having a secure beef supply. Foot and mouth disease, that's one of many things that is out there that we always know could be an issue. And I know FMD preparedness project, tell us a little bit about that, because obviously we want to be ready to combat FMD if it would enter the U.S.
Sure. So yeah, this is a huge biosecurity talking point that NCBA and BQA both have been paying attention to. And so NCBA received a grant from the USDA National Animal Disease Preparedness and Response Plan, and we are able to use that money to improve educational resources for the Secure Beef Supply Plan. So the Secure Beef Supply Plan is an enhanced biosecurity plan and contingency plan that producers, veterinarians would need to use in the event of a foot and mouth disease outbreak. And so we're really trying to improve this information. We have new resources for transporters, which is obviously a huge important piece of our industry. And we have webinars coming out. We have new resources on the website. We're going to update the website, but we're really trying to hit sector specific information. So cow-calf producers, stockers, feedlots, give them the information that they need to feel comfortable filling out one of these biosecurity plans and preparing before that outbreak happens.
Well, and I think about just in general that preparedness, and this goes with just good biosecurity on the ranch itself. I mean, whether it's FMD or another disease, but, and I know that, I mean, the conversation of biosecurity on the ranch, it can be tough because you're not necessarily confined to a small space, you know? I mean, yeah, pastures far and wide. So, I mean, I have to think that the biosecurity conversation as a whole for cattle producers is a little bit different than other animal ag.
Absolutely, yeah. So our partners in the swine and the poultry industry, they are able to control a lot more of those environmental factors because they are being raised inside. Cattle on the dairy or the beef side, that's not how we raise cattle. And so it can be challenging, but I think biosecurity, one of the veterinarians I worked with, he said biosecurity is a verb, which means it's always adapting. And so in the cattle industry, we have to adapt to a lot of things: weather, feed prices, market prices, etc. With biosecurity, it's what's happening on your operation? What type of animals do you have on there? What people do you have coming on and off? What deliveries do you have coming on and off? There are things that you can at least evaluate, see what that biosecurity risk is, and maybe zero risk doesn't exist. So, but how can we mitigate that risk as much as possible? Mm-hmm. So, I think that's where that BQA daily biosecurity plan comes in. It's that first step into just evaluating what's going on right now, and then how do we improve that year over year, because it is continuous improvement. That's another aspect of continuous improvement.
I think about it from this perspective too. When you think about preparing for FMD or other disease outbreaks, it's almost like, you know, in some ways it could be comparable to your health insurance plan. Mm-hmm. You know, it's there, you don't want to have to use it, but you want to have that plan in place in the event that something does happen. You don't want to get caught flat-footed, basically.
Absolutely, yeah. We talk about that with biosecurity planning. It's actually in a lot of my talks, it is an insurance plan. You're putting lots of effort up front, hoping that you never have to use it. But if you do have to use it, you at least have that background and you have a plan on what to do in case that outbreak happens.
Absolutely. We're talking with Dr. Julia Herman with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Let's talk about the changing regulations with antibiotics. I know there's different movement there. Obviously, you get a change in administrations too. That could cause us to have some different regulatory changes, hurdles, whatever the case is. What's the landscape like right now?
Well, so I think most producers are familiar with the FDA 263 that went into effect, and that took all of our medically important antibiotics off over-the-counter use and to prescription only. And so I think a lot of these guidances that are coming out of USDA, FDA, they really focus on that veterinarian-client-patient relationship. So that's what NCBA, I mean, we support the veterinary industry and that collaboration between producers and veterinarians. And we're really encouraging producers to have that that open relationship, that that communication between with their herd veterinarian, because as these different ways that we can get these treatments changes, the veterinarian is going to be the person who you're going to need to understand, one, if you even need the treatment, but two, how do you go about getting it. So a lot of these antibiotic guidance from these organizations, it's all towards antimicrobial stewardship. And so we want to make sure that we're using all of our products as responsibly as possible, only in the animals that need it, but under veterinary supervision, because there's not very many of these products that are being developed anymore. It's a very long and tedious and money intense process to create these new products. And we want to make sure that the products we currently have we'll have them for longer. And so as long as we can use them responsibly now through those antimicrobial stewardship principles, we have 12 points of antimicrobial stewardship, responsible antimicrobial stewardship use that BQA walks through. We can find that in our new BQA manual, but we're really encouraging producers to think before we treat and make sure we're doing it responsibly.
And I think it comes down to, you know, we have current tools in the toolbox and maybe some new ones that could get put in here as well, but making sure that we keep those tools in the toolbox, making sure, to your point, you work with your herd veterinarian and figure out what's best for your herd before you just dive in head first, et cetera, et cetera. And I think most producers know that, right?
Yes.
Julia?
Yeah, and I think producers are, I think a lot of them are already doing that. And I think it's just us being intentional about that relationship and kind of thinking outside the box on how do we prevent these diseases beforehand. And so we're trying to prep those animals, improve their immune system as much as we can, give them good nutrition, lower their stress. Hopefully they don't get sick in the first place. And then that's that snowball effect of you're getting higher productive animals. Not having to use those products, but keeping them in your toolbox in case you do need them and making sure they stay effective.
Absolutely. A couple minutes here before we wrap up. Anything final you'd mention for folks? Any other diseases we need to keep track of? I know BRD continues to be an issue. Calving season's coming up here for many folks, things like that. So, I mean, any final points you would make for folks?
Great topic. I think with calving season, I want people to make sure that they're make sure you have your calving, I call it a calving toolkit. So all those materials you need if you have to go out and help with the dystocia on your with your animals. So that's gloves, clean chains, clean bucket, lots of lube, making sure you're staying as clean as possible if you do have to help with those animals. Humans can get sick from some of those birthing fluids, and so I do want to also make sure we stay on top of those, protecting ourselves from zoonotic diseases. So I think that's something that we sometimes forget to do in the heat of the moment. And so all those producers out there taking care of your calves, make sure you're protecting yourselves too.
Absolutely. Any other final thoughts you'd share with folks or reiterate?
We have some great new BQA resources coming out.
Yes.
Our new BQA manual just got published last fall. It's available for download on our website. We have new guidance on anything from behavior and handling to herd health to biosecurity, emergency action planning. Actually, we have a huge focus on worker training that we're really proud of. So please check that out and find out all our other resources on BQA.org.
Once again, that conversation earlier this month at the Cattle Industry Convention in San Antonio, Texas, with Dr. Julia Herman, beef cattle specialist and veterinarian for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. And as she said there at the tail end, you can go to bqa.org for more. All right, coming up next here on AOA, I was able to spend a little bit of time on Tuesday afternoon at the National Ethanol Conference in Nashville, Tennessee, presented by the Renewable Fuels Association, their 30th annual NEC titled Back to Our Roots. And during my time there, I was able to catch up with Troy Breedenkamp, Senior Vice President of Government and Public Affairs for the Renewable Fuels Association. We talked about a wide range of issues, including SRE, small refinery exemptions, tariffs, E15's outlook, and much more. We'll take a listen to that conversation coming up next. Back with more here on AOA right after this.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-760-9937. That's 800-760-9937. 800-760-9937.
To AOA.
Double-digit losses in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, March milk down 47 to 1913, April down 38 to 1882, May down 26 to 1893, June down 26 at 1832. Meanwhile, in the cattle markets today, live cattle markets continue to move mostly higher, while feeder cattle are mostly lower. Some technical selling continues in the feeder cattle markets. Also, still some concerns about cash markets, while they will develop this week due to really a lack of any type of cash trade last week. Many in the trade believe cash will be lower. Lower pork cutout values pressuring the hog markets as the traders exit their positions, which has now led to long liquidation and additional sell stops that have led to an additional sell-off. February live cattle back to steady at 197.45. March feeder cattle down 80 cents to 268.92. April hogs down 295 to 90.25. Chicago Board of Trade at corn markets, soybeans and wheat are all moving mostly lower. Ethanol production will likely fall this week due to the cold weather. That's pressuring the markets along with consolidation in the market. Soybeans moving mostly lower. Positive South American weather for the harvest and further relief rains farther south in South America, all helping to pressure the markets. Wheat moving mostly lower due to overbought conditions and lower Matif wheat prices. New crop corn down 1 3/4 to 475 3/4. New crop beans down 4 to 10.54. March wheat down 14 3/4.
Young people who take an active interest in their futures find a lot to like in FFA. As members of the FFA, they apply what they learn in the classroom and in the field to meet the challenges of 21st century agriculture. Today and every day in 2025, we salute the FFA and our local FFA members.
Recognizing all of our local FFA chapters for their hard work throughout the entire year, this FFA salute being brought to you by Wisconsin Credit Union, taking pride in serving the community.
Whatever your industry or service, we know running your own business is a point of pride. Pride in serving the community and pride in building something greater. And at Wisconsin Credit Union, we take pride in helping you achieve it. By offering everything from business accounts to ACH services, business remote deposit and card processing. We also provide the latest online and mobile banking services to save you even more time. And because investing in your business is key to growing it, we provide great rates and fast local decision-making on loans. We even offer the convenience of applying for our Business Express loans online. But what truly sets us apart is the level of personal attention you'll receive from Wisconsin loan officers who really know the local business climate.
Because like you, we're also proud to be a part of it. To find out more about our business loans and services, just stop in or visit our website. Wisconsin Credit Union. Equal opportunity lender. Member eligibility required. Member NCUA.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
Welcome back. Well, the ethanol and renewable fuels industry has a lot to talk about right now, and they're doing so this week at the 30th Annual National Ethanol Conference, NEC, Back to Our Roots, presented by the Renewable Fuels Association in Nashville, Tennessee. I was able to spend a little time there on Tuesday afternoon and caught up with Troy Breedenkamp, Senior Vice President of Government and Public Affairs for RFA. We touched on a number of different topics, including small refinery exemptions, tariffs, E15, year-round legislation, and much more. Let's take a listen to that conversation with Troy Breedenkamp from the RFA here on AOA. Just in general, the Trump administration, it's been a few weeks now. There's been a lot of movement here. What's RFA's impression so far of the administration's stance on biofuels, ethanol, et cetera?
Well, Jesse, I would say overall, we're pretty pleased with what we've seen come out of the Trump administration so far. I mean, it's only a month in, but, you know, if you look at the executive orders that he has put forth, you know, E15 was mentioned on a day one executive order as something he is very aware of, wants to resolve that issue. And then we were mentioned again on the Brazilian tariff issue just last week. So, love to see that he includes biofuels in his energy dominance strategy. We feel exactly the same. Now the proof's in the pudding. We'll see where this all leads down the road. There's a lot of moving parts when it comes to biofuel policy in D.C. The renewable fuel standard, this administration is going to be responsible for putting out the new RFS set for the next couple years, because the Biden administration didn't even propose one, let alone get it done on a time frame that they were required to. So they've got a lot on their plate, and we'll try and hold their feet to the fire. But so far, it's been a pleasant surprise.
I know with the EPA, we have Administrator Lee Zeldin in place now and confirmed, and a lot of things on the plate there. You know, you mentioned some stuff with the RFS. I know we got RVOs, but we also got this issue of small refinery exemptions sitting at EPA right now. Give us an update on that.
Yeah, that's probably one of the more worrisome spots when you look at what's over at EPA and what just landed on Administrator Zeldin's desk. So you have, I think, north of 135 small refinery exemptions that are now pending again. These are ones from over the last 10 compliance years that have gone through some form of litigation. And so they're now back to them in terms of a pending status for review. We hope that the EPA, even under Trump, will take a look at those, and they'll look at it through the lights of the 10th Circuit decision that was made 5 years ago that said there's a higher threshold that needs to be met. So we hope this re-review is just a procedural issue. But if it's not, you know, there's 5.5-6 billion gallons of demand sitting in that pending pile right now. So that is a worrisome spot. I don't think it's anything that's near top of the radar screen over at EPA. We did have a chance to meet with Administrator Zeldin just last week. His top of mind issue is E15 and emergency waivers this summer in the event that Congress does not get this done legislatively. So that was a welcome report coming directly from him that in his first week on the job, he had had over 3 internal meetings on E15 and was ready to go talk to the White House about trying to get this done permanently up on Capitol Hill. So that's good.
And it sounds like with the E15 issue, I know you guys have Congressman Feenster from Iowa here who's championing that on the House side, and we got companion legislation in the Senate. And from what I'm hearing from folks, it sounds like there are multiple opportunities, multiple vehicles to try and get this legislation across the finish line here at some point in the next several months. Would you agree? What are you hearing on the Hill?
Yeah, if I was to look at my crystal ball, I see 4 vehicles from now till the end of the year, which doesn't sound like many, but it's got to be on something, Jesse, that has to be must pass. Mm-hmm. So there's must-pass pieces coming in March. There's a continuing resolution. The government runs out of money again. So that's our number one target, is to get the E15 legislative solution on that March CR. That is ahead of the summer driving season. All of the 8-state opt-out stuff would then be nullified. We would go on our merry way, and E15 would have certainty moving into the 2025 summer driving season. If we don't hit that March date, then you're looking at it. It gets a little murkier. You talk about the budget reconciliation bill that's going to come probably mid-summer. I'm not exactly sure when that, as President Trump says, that one beautiful bill comes before us. But that's a summer project. And then I think farm bill. I think we will get a farm bill. There are going to be a lot of rewrite going on over the next several months. But I think that comes fall type period. That could be another vehicle. And then really we're stuck with another year end appropriations package like we were last December. Those are really, when I'm looking down the road, those are really the four must-pass bills in Congress. Everything else is kind of ancillary and not mandatory. So it's going to be a trick, but we're pretty confident if we can get some signals out of the White House that they want this issue resolved as soon as possible, I think Congress will take heed of that and will try and work with us to get it done as soon as possible.
I should ask you, you brought up the Brazil tariff issue a little bit ago, and just the talk of tariffs. There's a lot of uncertainty, I would say, here with folks throughout the industry, throughout agriculture. You look at something with the Brazil issue, I mean, that's common sense that there's no reason there should be, you know, an 18% tariff, and then, you know, it's a trade imbalance there. But then you look at the issues between the U.S. and Mexico and Canada, and I think there's rightfully some folks who are very concerned about disrupting that intertwined supply chain. So, I mean, you take a broad overview look at tariffs. What are your feelings on this whole situation and having it being used as a negotiation tactic, essentially?
Well, you really pinpointed our very issue with what has become his favorite tactic, and that is to throw that tariff word out there. You know, we understand that it's a negotiating process for him. Brazil makes perfect sense, like you said. When we've had this 18% tariff on our product going into Brazil for a couple years now, certainly it makes sense to have some kind of reciprocity there. It's only fair. But on the other end of that spectrum, we have a great trading partner right now with Canada, especially. We're going to do almost 700 million gallons of ethanol in 2024 with them. And that is certainly something that we would find to be a very big, acute challenge if that trading partner was to dry up overnight because of a 25% tariff threat. So tariffs cut both ways. There's some that we see good in it, but there's others that we would definitely caution his approach when he's talking about some of our major trading partners like Canada.
Troy, great thoughts. Anything final you'd share or reiterate with folks before we run out of time?
You know, I would just say that we're going to spend a lot of time here talking about going back to our roots in terms of getting back in touch with the ag community. Really, corn farming and ethanol production are now going hand in hand. Ethanol ranks right up there with livestock feed in terms of demand for the corn kernel. We're excited about where that future is. There is some uncertainty, obviously, with any new change in administration, but I think there's tons of opportunity there as well. We're going to be pushing this administration to use biofuels as an opportunity to help out the, you know, what is really a growing rural economy issue. We could help grow their way out of that very quickly with good, sound biofuel policy at the national level. So that's what we're going to be pushing for.
Troy, always good to see you. Thanks for a few minutes of time here at the NEC, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you, Jesse.
Once again, Troy Breedenkamp, Senior Vice President of Government and Public Affairs for the Renewable Fuels Association, getting to talk with him during the 30th Annual National Ethanol Conference on Tuesday. Also, the topic of year-round E15 and whether or not there is the political will to make investment in more renewable fuels like sustainable aviation fuel was among many topics of conversation with one Midwest congressman at the National Ethanol Conference. Congressman Randy Feenstra of Iowa said he believes there are a few opportunities to pass the newly reintroduced Nationwide Consumer and Fuel Retailer Choice Act. That bill, again, would allow for the year-round sale of ethanol blends up to 15% nationwide.
Right now, just like it was in December, we had it attached to the continuing resolution on the budget. And in December, we kicked that can down the road till March 15. So we got another opportunity March 15 to hook that on to the continuing resolution at that time or to the full budget if we pass that. Depends where we're going to go. But that's the vehicle right now that we're looking for. Otherwise, we'll be looking for other vehicles. But right now, that is the focus in the Senate and the House to put it on that vehicle.
Another topic of conversation surrounded sustainable aviation fuel and other renewable fuels that have been widely talked about for the last several years. Is there the political will in Washington, D.C. to make the investment to give SAF and more a future?
I believe the will is there. You think about what happened decades ago with ethanol. Right? We had tax credits and other things. Now we don't have a single tax credit for ethanol, and it's standing on its own. So now the next step is, how can we grow this? How can we, instead of having 15 billion gallons of ethanol being made, how can we get that to 30, to 60, whatever it might be? And the future is there. And it's just we just got to create the investment. And the other option is giving subsidy to our farmers. And really, no one wants to do that. We want to have an economic engine and energy independence, and that's what we're trying to do.
And Congressman Feenstra also commented on a number of other topics, including trade, DOGE's impact at USDA, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, and the Farm Bill, which he believes could be done by this summer. You can read more of his comments at agricultureofamerica.com. Coming up next, before we close out today's show, it is Grain Bin Safety Week. We're going to get some tips on being safe in and around your grain bins with Laramie Sandquist from Nationwide. Back with more on AOA right after this.
Are you looking for more in this world?
Tomorrow's leaders in agriculture, business, technology, and science are being trained today as members of the FFA, a school-based national youth development organization with more than a million members across America, preparing themselves for future success. Today and every day in 2025, we salute the FFA and our local FFA members.
Recognizing all the hard work our local FFA chapters do throughout the year, this FFA salute is being brought to you by Pierce Pepin Cooperative Services.
Being there, every minute, year after year. As your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, it's not just our way of doing business, it's our way of life. Providing the energy our community relies on every day. And as a Touchstone Energy Cooperative member, that means value that goes far beyond the energy we provide. It's value you can't really put a price on.
Pierce Pepin Cooperative Services is your Touchstone Energy partner, your source for power and information.
Start your new and exciting career at Martin Transport Mondovi. Martin Transport's one of Western Wisconsin's largest employers and is a leader in the industry, transporting temperature-sensitive freight to 48 states, Canada, and Mexico. Martin Transport now has openings for dedicated, local, regional, and over-the-road drivers, logistics, operations, maintenance, accounting, and information technology. Visit martin.com for more information and to apply. It's better in blue when you work for an industry leader. Martin Transport Mondovi.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
We're dedicated to helping you achieve your full potential by connecting you with the knowledge, tools, and solutions you need for success. Partner with our team of experts who are ready to tackle the unique challenges you face at each stage of the season with customized whole acre solutions. Speak to your local crop consultant or visit us online at nutrientagsolutions.com to learn how we can work toward feeding the future together.
Maybe it was a family vacation or a school field trip. But there you were, standing in awe at a national park. We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Today, tomorrow, forever. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and don't have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you don't pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call if you've been injured in an auto accident. Call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Auto Accident Help Desk.
When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms, and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And as we continue here on AOA, it is Grain Bin Safety Week, and we're trying to bring a spotlight to the issue and prevent those grain entrapments that unfortunately do happen on our operations. We want to talk about this. Joining us now for a conversation, he is risk management leader for Nationwide, Laramie Sandquist. Laramie, it's good to hear from you again. Hope all is well.
Jesse, thanks for having me on.
Let's talk about this Grain Bin Safety Week happening all this week. And I know that you guys there at Nationwide provide a lot of education and resources to folks when it comes to being safe on the farm and in and around your grain bins. I mean, talk about why this week is so important to you and the folks at Nationwide.
Yeah, Jesse, we started this thing off back in 2014, and you know, it starts off like any one of our initiatives, right? We see what's going on in the industry, and we see some of the areas where we're having some devastating losses. And basically, at that point, we kind of put our fist to the table and said, "Hey, enough's enough. We gotta get out. We gotta get some supporting material out there. We gotta change the behaviors, right? We gotta change the industry." And here we are, 12 years later now, and in our 12th year of this, and you know, we've gotten safety tubes out to 390 rural fire departments across 32 states, and almost $2 million now worth of donations and support for this ongoing effort every year. But ultimately, you hit it on the head. It's the education, right? I always talk about awareness, education, and then advocacy. You know, it starts off with that awareness piece, making people aware of what the issues are, of the dangers, of the hazards. In our grainbinsafetyweek.com, we've got a lot of materials that speak to that. But then it's taking it to that next level, which is just education, making sure that any new people that we're bringing on board or a next generation folks coming up understand all these as well, take that education. But then it's kind of that last part of really getting in with these communities and getting in with folks across country and taking that advocacy approach, right? Those are the folks that really live it every day, not only on their own farms, but they're also speaking out and telling others the importance of this. And, you know, I think it started off in 2014 as more of an awareness campaign. And as we've gotten more aware, then it became an education campaign. And now it's pretty cool to see that it truly is an advocacy campaign, that a lot of people are jumping on board with this and truly making an impact in their communities.
Well, and you look at this issue of grain bin entrapments, and there's some startling facts out there that I know you have some of those you can share with us, I'm sure. But then just, you know, general tips and that education and advocacy piece. I know there's a lot of different things that can kind of go into this, right, Laramie?
Yeah, no doubt. I think as we get out and train these fire departments across the country, you know, I think their minds are kind of blown to a point on how quickly people can get trapped in these entrapment situations, you know, and in 4 seconds, you're already up to your knees. And within 20 seconds, you can become fully engulfed. I had the opportunity last year to go up to a community college. We had about 150 kids out there, and I was that dummy. I was the person that was getting dropped into the grain, into the corn at the time. And it's a harrowing experience. But it really kind of level sets how challenging this is and how important it is to do this stuff safely. And of course, unfortunately, we see the number of incidents that are happening. Last year, we had almost 40 incidents happen. And over time, you know, last year, we had about 50% of the people die as part of that. And over time, we've had over 300 incidents in the last decade. And unfortunately, 62% of those people are dying. So the shining light or silver lining of this is in 2024, we also had our most saves ever. And so we are getting more and more tubes out there. I think that's a big piece of it, is getting these rural fire departments with these tubes. But I think the bigger piece of it is people being educated around it and making better decisions as they're out there on the farm.
Well, and you highlighted this as well, it kind of the work with local rural fire departments to make sure they have the life-saving tools they need. And the Nominate Your Fire Department contest from Nationwide is kind of tied in with Grain Bin Safety Week. And I know that enrollment, that nomination period is open through the end of April. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, so kicked off first January 1st, and I think we've already got upwards of 500 nominations from folks across the country, so it's awesome to see that. They basically go out to our grainbinsafetyweek.com, and there's a link on there to nominate your fire department, nominate your local fire department, and they can get in that nomination process. And it goes through, as you said, the end of April, so we've still got a couple more months to get folks nominated for that. And hopefully be able to saturate the communities and get folks the life-saving mechanisms that they need out there. And in addition to the actual, the equipment, right? You got the tube and you got the auger that are really the life-saving pieces of equipment. I think the bigger piece that we're seeing is that educational piece. Within these rural fire departments, actually what we started doing now last year was doing retraining, because we know some folks were trained maybe back in 2014, 15, 16, and of course turnover and things like that within these fire departments has occurred, and we realized that additional training is necessary. So we've actually started doing a lot more retrainings across the country, and I can't stress enough the importance. Obviously, Nationwide is a name behind this, and we got some reach across the country to talk to folks about this, but the National Education Center for Ag Safety, NECAS, here based out of Iowa, Dan Neenan and his team have done an awesome job. They're the ones that are boots on the ground doing the training for these fire departments and really making sure that folks are up to speed with how to do this. And can't say enough their involvement and our appreciation for their support.
Laramie, we got about 45 seconds here. Final thoughts you would share or reiterate with folks when it comes to grain bin safety?
Yeah, check out grainbinsafetyweek.com. Obviously, a lot going on this week with the facilities and training and education. A lot of podcasts going on this week and a lot of awareness on Grain Bin Safety Week. But I would stress to everyone is it's not just 1 week, right? This is changing the culture. This is advocacy. This is making sure that our rural communities are making good decisions every day out there on the farm. So appreciate the opportunity and the platform to be able to keep everyone safe out there. We'll continue to do our efforts and get people trained and give them the resources that they need to help in the event of an unfortunate incident.
Absolutely. GrainBinsSafetyWeek.com. With that, nationwide risk management leader, Laramie Sandquist. Laramie, thanks for joining us on AOA today. Have a great week. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Jesse.
All right, that's going to do it for today's show. Coming up on our next program, we'll get an update from Capitol Hill with South Dakota Congressman Dusty Johnson. Also, Mississippi Senator Cindy Hyde-Smith will join us. All that and more on the next AOA. For now, we're out of time. I'm Jesse Allen. Thanks for listening. Have a great rest of your day.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
80 million listeners depend on AM radio to always be on, delivering news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports you can trust. AM radio also delivers vital emergency information when you need it most. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to pass the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act to keep AM radio in cars.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
Just a little heads up before something bad happens.
Move your coffee cup away from your computer.
Oh, no.
So you...
Bombas makes the most comfortable socks, underwear, and T-shirts.
Warning. Bombas are so absurdly comfortable you may throw out all your other clothes.
Sorry, do we legally have to say that?
No, this is just how I talk, and I really love my Bombas.
They do feel that good, and they do good, too. One item purchased equals one item donated.
To feel good and do good, go to bombas.com/radio and use code radio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/radio and use code radio at checkout.
Progressive knows finding your new home was a dream come true. You wanted a colonial with high ceilings, hardwood floors, and a peaceful neighborhood. And you found it. Now, every Saturday at 6 a.m., you get to wake to the sound of your neighbor's leaf blower. Progressive can't save you from your noisy neighbors, but we can save you money when you bundle your home and auto with us. Get a quote at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
Real Country 1430 AM Stereo. WRDN. Durand, Downsville, Pepin. And 107.3 FM. Translator W297CH Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and a federal judge in New York held a hearing on whether to approve the Justice Department's request to dismiss the corruption case against New York City Mayor Eric Adams. ABC's Aaron Kutursky.